Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Isaac Schaefer over here said, I hope you can be more as entertaining as the children. I don't know that I can. But in my short message, when I think about Noah and the journey they were going to take, and when I take a big journey, usually it involves flying, and I hate to fly. I really hate to fly. I am not a proponent of drug use or alcohol consumption, but when I fly, I usually do both. Something prescribed and some of the free wine to help it work better. People say it is statistically safer than riding in a car, but in my mind, if a car's engine stops, you can roll to a stop. If a 747 engine stops, that's a bigger problem. And you might say, Jim, you're a preacher. You should have some faith. But let me ask you a serious question. What is the place of faith in the face of the unknown? Now, you can study statistics all your life and worry if you want to, but when it comes to trouble and disease and eventual death, for each of us, as the kids say, there is 100% chance of rain. So, let me tell you a story. Two fellows were sitting on a park bench, and one of them said to the other, I am afraid of flying. That's why I take the train anytime I have a long trip. And the other said, that's silly. Didn't you read just last week that 300 people were killed on a train? And the fearful guy said, 300 people on a train? How is that possible? How could 300 people die in a train crash? And his friend said, an airplane fell on it. You can't outrun your trouble. You cannot outrun trouble. We read about faith in the face of ridicule, and we saw that portrayed in the play the children shared with us as Noah was building the ark and his neighbors thought he was crazy. We read about faith in the face of opposition and threats from 1 Kings when Elijah was hiding in the cave for fear of what might happen. And we read about the disciples afraid in the boat during the storm before Jesus came, walking to them on the water. And we wonder, is faith only for the good times? Is it only for the clear days and when everybody is supportive and singing together kumbaya? No. Hebrews, you heard earlier, speaks of faith as what we cling to and the God we trust in when the odds are against us and the future is cloudy and the crowds turn their backs and walk away. But there's always the safety and harmony of hearth and home and family, right? I didn't hear any amen. Not always. I recently read about a grandmother who was celebrating her golden wedding anniversary, and she told the secret of her long and happy marriage. She said, on my wedding day, I decided to make a list of 10 faults which for the sake of my marriage I would overlook in my husband. And the friend said, well, that's interesting. Now, what were some of those faults on your list? And the grandmother replied, well, to tell you the truth, I never got around to listing any of them. But whenever my husband did something that made me hopping mad, I would say to myself, it's lucky for him, that's one of the 10. Scripture pulls no punches about faith. Just like the marriage vows in the traditional service, they practically promise that there will be times of better and worse, and ask, will you still make this covenant? There will be times of richer and times of poorer. Will you still make this covenant? There will be times of health and times of sickness. Will you still make this covenant? That's why those questions are in there. Will you be married to this person in front of you until one of you dies? Are you willing to make such a covenant? It reminds me of the covenant that we make with God in faith. I remember a particular woman who came to me as a pastor because her husband was having an affair with another church member. Faith is not always clear skies and harmony, is it? And whether it be financial misconduct or mismanagement on a job or loss or legal trouble or a cancer diagnosis, our substance abuse, our credit card abuse, our internet, or porn, or whatever, a significant number of us, people of faith, are facing at some point, and maybe right now, 100% chance of rain. If faith is only for clear skies and good times and church picnics, then it isn't very much use, is it? It isn't of very much use. What we need is a trust and a faith in the face of overwhelming odds to the contrary. Faith and trust when our cleverness and our resources completely run out. We need a direction after we hit a brick wall. We need guidance when what we have learned and depended upon all of our lives just doesn't work anymore. We need a captain when we are rudderless and lost at sea. I'll never forget the words of that woman who called me during that time of storm and shock in her life. For her, it was a time of hurt and betrayal and secret pain. And I say secret pain because she was like Elijah, locked alone in a cave, or like the disciples stuck uncomfortably in the boat in the storm where Jesus wasn't there yet. Or like Noah, who was forced to cling to God in the face of ridicule all around. It's a kind of secret pain. In that situation I mentioned, at one point, the woman betrayed said, I guess I will now figure out whether I really believe this forgiveness stuff or not. That's precisely it. In the middle of storms, we figure out whether we really believe and really trust God or not. And when it's your children caught up in things that horrify or terrify you, you find out if your faith and your trust in God is enough or not. And when it's your financial future at risk, you find out. And when it's the doctor giving you a grim diagnosis, you find out, is my faith and my trust in God enough to sustain me or not? Faith in God is painted in the same way all through the Bible. I don't really understand sometimes when people get angry when something goes wrong. Because the Bible says from the very beginning that things are wrong. We are wrong. The whole world is not what God intended. And you get that message from the very beginning of Scripture, and all the rest is God speaking through the prophets and through the lawgivers and through the Savior Jesus Christ to redeem this broken creation and every broken creature in it. All the Bible stories paint a picture of God starting over. Have you ever seen that theme? Starting over in the wilderness out of Egypt, starting over with the ark, and starting over again until we reach the grand rebirth and the second Adam, the new creation of Jesus Christ. And even now, even within the family of Christ and the covenant of grace, there will be times when we face what seems to be a tornado or a hurricane, followed by an earthquake, followed by a fire. And there will be times when the storm threatens to pull us under and no one we know or trust can help us. And there will be times when following God will make other people think that you and I are wimps, are weak, or worse. And those are the times. Those are the times when we have to catch the beat, kind of listen behind the chaos and storm, the melody of God's redeeming, hidden behind all of that, all of the hurt and all of the sin and all of the fear that we face in this fallen world. Catch that beat. Faith says that no matter what, God is still there, constantly playing, whistling, singing the tune of redemption. It's not in the storm. It's not in the earthquake. It's not in the fire, but beneath it all and behind it all in a still, small voice which will never be put out. God's voice speaking and beckoning and comforting and calling, saying, even so, no matter what, I am with you. I am with you. Have you not heard? Have you not felt my presence? I am with you. And so catch that beat, the melody of redemption, grace, and love. It has always been there, and it has, when you look back, you know that it has sustained you this far. Faith is listening closer and trusting better and learning, in spite of everything, to dance to the tune of the gospel. So the central question of our life is not how many storms must I pass through. The question is whether we have faith in the midst of the storms. Listen for God's singing, redemption when the world is silent or when the world is mocking. Do you believe that there is a God who loves you and has promised never to forsake you? Do you have a faith that you can call your own? And do you have a faith that will sustain you in the storms and the times of chaos? Troubles and rejection and dead ends are promised in our lives. But listen behind them. Listen beyond them for the beat, the tune of redemption, the persistent and consistent, unfailing song of the gospel, and dance to it, no matter what people think, no matter what people say. And in my estimation, that is the journey of faith. Amen.